So we're out there singing Hosanna and getting into the play, and all of a sudden we hear, my mustache is falling off and nobody cares. So you got to watch out for these things. So today we're going to talk about what it is to be a priest of God. And Steve and I were talking weeks ago, and this message has changed 20 times. So about what it means to be a priest, because we find it in Scripture. And we'll go to our cool outfit that I didn't wear today. So, but we will be a priest of God. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll go to the next one. So, yeah, you were talking about reading in 1 Peter. What a great book, Peter, the guy that really messed up all the time, and yet God was able to use him greatly. So there's hope for me. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we know Peter was called out. We know all of us are called out of darkness. Let's go to the next one there. Revelation, we see John. Now we got a different apostle talking. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we're starting to see a little pattern from these guys talking to us. But who are these other guys we're going to talk about? Revelation 5. 24 elders. We don't know who they are yet. And they're singing songs. So maybe that's good. I don't know. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, we are worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God and from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. So that seems pretty exciting. What is a priest? And I came up with the definition. There we go. One who is authorized to minister in sacred and holy duties, to act as an ambassador between God and man. So that's our job. So, and it's like, okay, well, what does that mean? Why are we priests? What is our purpose? We have to have some clarity here. So we're going to go all the way back to the garden. Our story, it begins with wonderfully perfect, actually, in a beautiful garden with everything we would ever need, abundantly provided by our Creator. And he loved to visit us every day. Sadly, a selfish, treasonous act of disobedience resulted in broken fellowship and separation from him. But there is good news. There's always good news. His story is this. Immediately from that moment, he has continually desired the restoration of that daily fellowship. His heart's desire is to dwell with mankind. And he still calls out today, where are you? God brought his chosen people out of the bondage in Egypt by a mighty hand, using an amazing ambassador named Moses. If you guys like going to Sunday school, we're studying this stuff right now, and it's just been awesome. So, but they're out in the desert, they're wondering what to do, and God's like, you know what, I want to dwell among you guys. So he met them where they're at, in the desert. He lived in a tent just like they were. He called his tent a tabernacle, which means tent of meeting. Since God loves us, since God loves us and loves using us to help him, they were allowed to build, maintain, and visit him in his tent of meeting. He did give us a list of instructions of what he would like to have accomplished, how it should be done. Some duties were general, but some were very specific, and they always had special meaning. So, some of the duties and tasks of a priest. So, we'll start with the uniform, the cool outfits. There we go. They have meaning. So, a uniform denotes a belonging. I was thinking about Wendy's. You know, you go into a Wendy's and if you need something, you can ask someone in a uniform, and they can go back and get you extra ketchup or whatever you need. They denote someone who is separate from everybody else. People can't just walk in the back. Same with military uniform, anything. It denotes an authority, but it also comes with an expectation. And next week, I expect to see all the greeters dressed just like this. Generally, the first task was to maintain and guard the tabernacle. But the far more important desire of God was to maintain and protect the people in it. The priest was to help the people to understand and to worship their Creator. They were told to pray for the people, and to take care of the people. A prayer is to petition one in authority to take action. And we've already prayed this morning, and what a wonderful thing. And I know this is a praying church, and I appreciate that. So another duty was to be peacemakers in disputes with one another, because the world is full of humans, and we don't always get along, huh? To teach the truth about God and His character. That's a very important duty. So we've got up there. Show kindness and understanding, even to the poor and the sojourner, an outsider who is interested in worshiping God. Probably know them as Gentiles in the New Testament. To examine diseases of the flesh and to help them get healed. To examine the sacrifices needed for atonement and to teach the people why they were required by God to honor Him. To prepare and maintain a pleasing, holy fragrance, and to keep oil in the lamps so that they never went out. Now, there is a lot more that goes on in the temple. I only hit some high points here. Excuse me. Now, as priests ourselves, how do we learn to do these duties, and what do they mean? So, as I pondered this, I decided to use the example of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs gives us good and bad examples to gain wisdom. So I think we should try that approach. Our first set of examples will be from the priests in the temple about 2,000 years ago, because there seems to be a lot written about those guys. We'll start with the garments. What were the garments supposed to be? A badge of authority. But what had it become to them? Nothing but vanity. They had these long flowing robes and they expected you to honor that. All right, well, how about guard the temple and maintain it? Well, seems like that was accomplished. That's a pretty easy task for guys to do. Pray for the people. It's going to get uglier. Glad I'm not like those sinners. So, yikes. Things kind of falling off the rail, haven't they? How about be peacemakers? But they were too busy fighting amongst themselves. Teach the truth about God and His character. What did they teach? No one is good enough, except us, of course. We know everything. They taught to the very letter, and yet they missed the message. So, show kindness. Sadly, they showed ridicule and disdain. Examine the flesh and help. Everyone is unclean. Don't touch me. So, examine the sacrifice. Your sacrifices aren't good enough, but in the back, we got a few for the right price that'll fit your need. So, maintain a pleasing fragrance. They were a stench in God's nostrils and in most of the people's. So it was a hot mess. Keep oil in the lamps. Another duty that seemed to get done. Guys are good at duties. So these guys were probably the first duty heads, huh? So, yeah, they're not doing too well. It's a pretty bad review of their priestly example. Their arrogance had blinded them from their own faults and shortcomings. They totally failed to help others and completely failed to portray God's true character. Let's examine one statement from John the Baptist and see how badly the Pharisees completely missed it. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This whole book in one verse, rather. He saw Jesus coming. John recognized Jesus. It suggests a relationship, a friendship, something the Pharisees did not have. Behold, to examine, to look at, to inspect. It was the very job of the priest. The Lamb, a pure and innocent sacrifice, approved of by the law. The Lamb of God. God was pleased to send this very thing we need. Who takes away, absorbs the punishment, not just covers it with temporary blood atonement. Who takes away the sin of the world. Notice it doesn't say sins. The sin of the world. The sin of mankind is treason against God. We are made in His image and we are to represent Him. All sin is treason and it is a serious crime. Being a Pharisee is our human default position. Now it's getting serious, huh? It's getting personal. But it's my personal problem, too. It is our nature. It's our nature to be rebellious and worse, full of pride. Like Cain, we think we can impress God, but God is only impressed by obedience. Abel did what God expected, and his sacrifice was accepted by his obedience. So it all looks like it's lost, and I'm sure a lot of people living in that day felt the same way. But guess what? We have a living example to show us what God expects of us, that we may please him. There is such a person. We'll go back to our duties. Did Jesus guard the temple? Jesus overturned the tables to guard the temple and its reputation, and the people from fraud. Jesus protects his sheep by being the good shepherd, he tells us. Jesus prayed for his disciples constantly, and he taught us how to properly pray, which we prayed earlier. That was wonderful. So that God could be honored, and we can confidently ask him to help us. Peacemaker. God honors honor others before yourselves. Love your enemies. He promised a blessing for peacemakers. Teach the truth about God. Jesus taught us that God is love. He loves mercy. He knows that we are but dust, but that God is holy and sin will be punished. There was no problem understanding exactly what Jesus said. Repent and believe, he said. Examine the diseases of the flesh. It wasn't just about what was on their skin. We are made of flesh. We are flesh. And Jesus said that we are all evil. Yet he does not condemn us. He who is without sin casts the first stone. There's a lot of people there that day, blaming someone else for a problem. And Jesus said, yeah, all right. You guys think you're cool? Caught her in the act. So, who's without sin casts the first stone. And as much as they hated him, they knew they couldn't throw the stone. Jesus knows our hearts and our weaknesses. Jesus helped many with diseases. Examine the sacrifice. He is God's perfect lamb. Maintain a pleasing fragrance. Love, gentleness, giving praise and thanks to God. Humility is the most pleasing fragrance. Keeping oil in the lamps. Jesus explained to them, I am the light of the world. And that light shines still today. He also warned us to keep oil in our lamps. Jesus is our perfect example of what a priest should be. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. We must be imitators of God as beloved children, to walk in love, agape love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Love in the American language has a problem. I love bacon and I love grandma. Sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? All right, but in the Greek we have many kinds of love. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I. Peter, do you love me? He says, Peter, do you agape me? Unconditionally, do you love me with everything you have? And Peter says, Lord, I phileo you. You're my best buddy. You're a good friend. Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me? Oh, Lord, you know I phileo you. See, Peter didn't quite get it yet. So, and that's the kind of love that God is looking for, agape love. He gave himself up as the fragrant offering and sacrifice. Love is an action. It's not a word. It's not an emotion. It is action. If you love things, you go in that direction. You do things, you know. Jesus said, repent and believe. Believe is also an action. It's not just something I'm going to sit around and go, yeah, I believe Jesus was cool. I'm going to heaven. It doesn't work that way. You have to act upon it. So Jesus, again, gives us the depth that God's looking for. And he lives that example in front of us. There's a reason his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Because remember, what's God's desire? To be with us every day. To dwell with his creation, his people, his beloved children. So, it has been the plan from the very beginning, and it will be the reality into the eternal future. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. and death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. So that is our future hope. So they told me to keep it under 3 hours, but this is going a lot faster than I thought it was. So, so we're going to review it real quick that we may completely understand that we are called to be priests. So we are chosen. 1 Peter 5 tells us to be clothed in what? What's our garments? Humility. Humility are our garments, so that we stand out to people in a crowd. What is different about that person? Excuse me. Let us guard our hearts and help others to do the same. The book is full of things. Be careful. Beware. So we need to guard our hearts, and then we need to help others guard their hearts. As Proverbs tells us in chapter 12, verse 20, to plan for peace that we may have joy. So being peacemakers. Sometimes we can't just do it. We actually have to say, you know what? I'm going to walk in humility, and I'm going to walk in peace. So that we may have joy. So we must understand the truth and character of God as we represent him, being made in his image. And a lot of times we forget that, don't we? We get in a rut of everyday life. We're doing this, we're doing that. So, but we're made in his image. So every time I do something, I'm representing God. And if I do it wrong, I represent God wrong. Sometimes it's just a mistake, and sometimes it's on purpose. So, but either way, I need to be what? Examining myself. That's what we're supposed to do. Examine ourselves before we examine others, to show kindness to everyone. An important one is to examine the Lamb. He warned us that false Christ would come and deceive many. So we need to know who Jesus is. We need to spend time with him daily. So we need to understand when he says certain things. And he says, beware. Many false Christs are coming. So it's a test. The pleasing fragrance is our humble prayers for others. As we prayed even today. And we pray for others. And you guys prayed for Denise. Thank you so much. A lot of times it doesn't go our way, though, but the prayers still help. So I know there's people praying right now for me to get up here and do this. That helps. Jesus also told us to keep oil in our lamp, and that's another warning to the 10 virgins. Everyone was asleep. All of a sudden they got up. 5 got the oil in the lamp, 5 didn't. And they said, give us some of your oil. It's a personal relationship. Church is very important. Coming together and encouraging one another. But it's that personal relationship that fills that lamp. We are God's priests for our day. We are chosen for such a time. He will equip us for the task. We prayed this morning what's going on in Israel. What happened in the 1800s? Everybody got ready, sold their stuff, wore white sheets. Jesus is coming today. So I may look pregnant, but I'm not pregnant. But ladies, when you have that first pang or second pang, get excited. Baby's coming. Baby's coming. And I think that's what happened. They saw signs in the skies. There were things that happened. Well, what happens when it's really getting close? You know. You did this to me. So. But what does the Bible say after the baby comes? It's so worth it. It's so the joy that comes. So. Let us encourage and pray for one another continually, which we again heard this morning. In the words of Christ, he lays this whole thing out that I just talked about for a while in Mark 12, 30 and 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. The priest was to do what? To represent God properly and honor him and respect him. We are to fear God. Not to be afraid of him, but to show the utmost respect for him. So if we love him, and we love him with all our heart and our soul and our mind, how much time do you spend in the Word? That's renewing your mind. And with all your strength, Mr. Lindy got up here and told about how the church works, and then we take tithes. But he's right. A lot of people do help here. So, and that's a wonderful opportunity to be able to help. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So Jesus took the whole book and again put it down into just a few words. And we Can't miss it. So, and we need to know show mercy to others because he showed mercy to us. So, and that continues every day. There's a reason you are here today, and that is the reason. That's all I got. Usually I ask for questions. But so, thank you so much, guys.
Okay, well, we're all together. Nobody tell Brian. He'll think he has another 30 minutes added to his message next week. So, I think that before we do this song, I'm going to throw in a little something different. You may not know the words to it, but the chorus of Turn Your Eyes on Jesus, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, we can just do that. Oh, do you have a...